I want to read for you some words from John chapter 6. This is at page 867 if you're following in the Red Bibles. And these are words that come, this follows along after what we read last week. So last week we had that story of feeding 5,000. And then we skipped a little story in the middle of it where The disciples decided it was time to go. They couldn't find Jesus anywhere, so they got in their boat and they went across. They were going across the lake, and then in the middle of the night, Jesus showed up walking toward them across the water. And so there was that miracle. And then we get here, and it's the morning, and the crowd who had eaten their fill the night before goes back to the same place to look for Jesus. And Jesus isn't there and they can't find him. And so eventually there's a bunch of boats that pull up into the where they are. And so they hop into all of these boats and they go across the sea to find Jesus. And we start at verse 25 of John 6. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us this bread always." So the crowd is looking for Jesus because he fed them. Honestly, wouldn't we do the same? If we'd been part of that huge crowd and we had eaten our fill and out of nothing, of course we'd go looking for him again. This is fantastic. Jesus will provide all of that food for us. Let's go find him. And then Jesus says to them, "Listen up. Don't be working for food that spoils, food that perishes, food that goes bad. Work for the food instead that lasts forever." Now imagine you're in the crowd. Imagine Jesus says that to you. Food that lasts forever? Well, maybe some of the canned goods in the grocery store. Food that lasts forever? Is there such a thing as food that lasts forever? And he says, "Work for the food that lasts forever, which the Son of Man," Son of Man is one of the ways that Jesus refers to himself often in the Gospels. It comes out of the Old Testament. It comes out of some prophetic speakings, particularly of a guy named Daniel, who was talking about the coming Messiah and referred to him as one like the Son of Man. So Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, which the Son of Man will give you. And the people who were hearing, they would have been very familiar with that phrase. "For it is on him, on the Son of Man, that God the Father has set his seal." In other words, work for the food that lasts forever, which the Son of Man, me, I'm going to give you, because God has set his seal on me. God has appointed me. God has anointed me. That's what's happening here. And the crowd says, "Okay, well, what do we do to perform those works of God? Work for the food that lasts forever? What do we have to do, Jesus?" And Jesus says this, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me, that you believe in me." Well, so when we hear, what's the work that we should do? Go out and get a job, be a teacher, go out and get a job and clean toilets, go out and farm a field, go out and do what you have to do to get the food. But Jesus instead says, "Nope, believe in me." That's God's work. That's the work you have to do. And they know he's talking about himself, which we know because the next sentence they say is, "Oh, what signs are you going to do to prove it to us?" "Prove it, Jesus. You are who you say you are. Come on, we want another sign. We want another miracle. Prove it." How did they not see the miracle just the night before as a sign of who he is? Why are they asking for another sign? Maybe they weren't aware of the scope of it. You know, you're one in a crowd of 5,000. Maybe you don't realize that everybody ate. Maybe you don't know that it started with only a few loaves and a couple fish. Maybe you don't know that kind of stuff. So, okay, you might overlook that. But honestly, they knew something had happened because they kept looking for him. They didn't go home. They wanted more of the same. And now they have the nerve to turn to him and say, come on, Jesus, prove it. Prove it to you. Sure, we'll believe in you if you prove it to us. Oh, silly crowd. Are there times when God acts in our lives that we miss it? I often think it's really easy when we're reading the Bible to come down hard on the crowd, or the Apostle Peter is really easy to come down hard on, or the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whoever the villain of the particular story is. It's really easy to come down on them. How did they not know? You know, the people of Israel's history, there's a time when they were enslaved in Egypt, and they were enslaved for hundreds of years, and then God freed them from Egypt. He did all of these miracles, and he freed them, and he rescued them, and he sent them in miraculous ways again across a river into the land that had been promised them for even more hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and they were finally able to take up residence, not by their own strength, but only by the miracles of God, that God actually stopped the water so that they could walk through on dry land, and then had the timing so that then when Pharaoh's army came chasing after them through that dry land, all the water stopped being dry and it all came in and drowned them all. Who's going to say, oh, we did that? No, you know God did that, right? That was an incredible miracle. God led them. At night, there was a pillar of fire. In the day, there was a cloud that was God's leading of them. And yet over and over and over again, when you read the story of Israel, they constantly forget. They're constantly going, okay, well, God, where are you? If you really loved us, you'd show up. If you really loved us, you'd take care of this. You'd do something. And we go, how could they not see? They'd experienced these incredible miracles. How did they not see that God had done this miracle? And we come down on them. And then we read stories like this. They were just fed miraculously the night before. What do you mean, prove it to us? What was last night? The whole reason they went looking for him in the first place before they got fed was because they knew that Jesus had been doing miracles. People had been being healed. People had been being saved from all sorts of things. What do you mean, show us a sign? But before we become too harsh on the crowd, do we forget the work God has done? We do. We do. We forget. If we don't keep telling the stories, we forget. And then we become like the crowd and we go, man, Jesus, if you really want me to follow you, prove it. If you really want me to believe in you, prove it. I know back then you did this thing, but I need right now. So prove it again. Prove it again. And they say to him, here's the proof we want, Jesus. Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. This is back when they were first had escaped Egypt and they were in the wilderness and they were wandering around and they went, we're really hungry. There's no food. It's the wilderness. It's kind of desert-like. There's no food. Moses, what are you going to do? God, you brought us out of Egypt just so that we could starve to death. Listen to this. All those miracles, all that escape from slavery, we were better off as slaves in Egypt because at least there we had food to eat. Oh. And so God rains down manna, a kind of bread-like substance. Every morning they wake up and there's all of this manna. It's kind of a white bread-like substance all over the ground. And every day they go up and they collect. They go out and they collect enough for that day. Not more, though, because if you collect more than a day's worth, it spoils overnight. So you collect enough. And day after day after day, for the duration of the decades they were in the wilderness, God provided manna. And they're saying to Jesus, prove it. Remember when our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness? Moses proved it. He proved who he was by the manna. And Jesus says, listen up. It wasn't Moses that provided the manna. It wasn't. My Father in heaven, God, he gives you the true bread of heaven. It was God who rained down the bread. Now there's a context thing here that's happening. There's a Psalm 78. which is a psalm where the psalmist is going, let's remember all the things that God did for us. And in part of it, they're remembering the whole story of manna from heaven. And there's a few verses that read this way. Yet he, meaning God commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Mortals ate the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. That's how the psalmist tells the story of manna. Those are words that the crowd would have been familiar with. They would have heard them all their lives growing up, going to synagogue and reading the Psalms and praying the Psalms themselves. They knew these words. They knew that this was a miracle. There was a belief that there was this kind of storehouse or this treasury or, I don't know, a giant barn in heaven that was filled with bread. And what God had done with the miracle of the manna is that he had opened the doors so the manna could fall. And then eventually the doors got shut when the people were no longer in need of that manna. And the belief was that when the Messiah comes, one of the signs, one of the things that's going to happen is those doors, that treasury, that barn is going to be opened again. And the bread of heaven will flood the earth. There'll be so much bread, nobody will be hungry again. So the people are listening to Jesus. If you are the Son of Man, if you are the Messiah we're waiting for, then where's the bread of heaven falling from the sky? Right? That was a great miracle last night. Thanks, Jesus. We don't want to come down on you for a few loaves and a couple fish, but we want the bread of heaven. We want the treasure house of God itself to open up and rain down all of it upon us. Do this, and then we'll know you're the one, and then we will believe. And Jesus says, the bread of God is, some translations say that which, some say he who, comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He says, okay, God's going to open the treasury, and bread will fall down. But here's what you're not getting. It's not bread like we eat at lunch. The bread of heaven is a person. The bread of heaven is me, is the Son of Man, is the Son of God. You see, the bread, the manna that fell, it only fell for Israel. Nobody else was, you know, waking up in the morning and going, what's this? That looks good to eat. It was only for the nation of Israel. The manna was only allowed to be eaten one day at a time. Every day they woke up and there was more manna to eat. Every day, but they couldn't keep it overnight. They couldn't take more than what they needed in a day. And it wasn't for always. There came a time when God stopped providing the manna, when they didn't need the manna anymore. But this is where the true bread of heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, this person gives life to the whole world. Not just the true bread of heaven, not just for Israel, the true bread of heaven for the whole world, for everybody. The true bread of heaven, not just one day at a time, not just a little bit enough for today, not just for a set amount of time and then you're out of luck, but for all time, for the whole world, for all time, for all eternity. This is the true bread of heaven, he says to them. He says, you want this sign, but you're missing it. You're missing what it is. I am the true bread of heaven. Did the crowd get it? We don't really know. There's a story a couple chapters earlier in John chapter 4 where Jesus met a woman who was at a well the way Israel was set up was there was Israel, then there was this interloper of Samaria, and then there was Israel again at the north part. And Samaria, that was a country that many, many years ago was made up of the Jewish people who hadn't decided that it was important to stay all Jewish. So they were really looked down on by most of the Jewish people of the time. And if you were traveling, you would go around Samaria because you didn't want to get contaminated by the Samaritans. But Jesus was traveling through Samaria because he didn't care about stuff like that. And he was sitting at a well, and this woman came. It was the heat of day. She was clearly not just a Samaritan, but she was an ostracized woman. She was shunned. Nobody went to the well at the hottest part of the day, but she did, because nobody else wanted to be there when she was there, because she was not a good woman. And so Jesus is there, and they have this whole conversation. You can read it in John 4. And he talks to her about living water. He says, listen, if I gave you living water, you'd never be thirsty again. And this is what she says, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Did she get what Jesus was talking about, that Jesus was that living water? We don't know. We don't know. We're left, John leaves us. We don't know if she knew. If she only heard him saying there's this thing called living water, of course she wanted it. Give me this. I won't have to keep coming here. I won't have to keep facing the other women at the well. I won't have to do any of that. I'll just constantly have this living water. The same thing is happening here. Jesus says, there is the bread of heaven that's for all the world, for all times. And they say, sir, give us this bread always. Do they know what he's talking about? Probably not. There's a lot of layers of meaning there. They do know they don't want to be hungry. They do know that it's high time the Messiah came because life was miserable. They do know that whatever this true bread of heaven is, be it bread, be it a person, they wanted it always. We're going to keep going with this next week. But I want us to stop on that, sir, give us this bread always. Now we know, because we know how the story goes. We know how the story ends. And we know that Jesus is the true bread from heaven. We know that where bread is basic, is essential to life. Now I know nowadays, you know, if you've got a gluten allergy, you might go, bread isn't basic for me. Or if you don't like carbohydrates, bread isn't basic for me. But in the day when Jesus was talking, bread was the basic thing. It was the most staple thing. It was something you would find on every single table. If you had nothing else, you at least had enough flour and water and a little bit of yeast to make some bread. And so bread was the most basic, essential thing to life. So is Jesus. But he's so much more than bread. He's so much more than simple manna. Jesus in John 10, verse 10 says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. You know, we talk about bread and we go, it's the basics. It's the most basic thing. You know, pray for what you need and expect God to give you what you need, but that's it. He's not going to go over and above. We just heard from Shola, God loves to give abundantly. Does Shola need to choose shoes to wear? Or is one pair enough? You know, God's like, Shola, I'm going to bless you with shoes. I'm going to bless you with equipment for your new business. I'm going to whatever. Now, sometimes it's hard to hold on to that. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. But Jesus, the true bread who comes from heaven, provides life in abundance. Not just measly bread. Life in abundant. The crowd said, sir, give us this bread always. And I wonder if that's our prayer too. Sir, give us this bread always. Sir, give us yourself always. Do we have that craving, that desperation that the crowd had? Do we have that craving, the desperation that the woman at the well had? Sometimes life is really easy and we don't. But for a lot of us in this room, we need the true bread from heaven. We need the life that it brings, the abundant life, the freedom from sin and death, all of that. This table that's in front of us, it represents Jesus' answer to that request. And it represents that answer. It's a symbol, these elements, there's crackers here that don't have gluten in them, for those of you for whom that's a problem. And there's grape juice here. And they are symbols that represent Jesus' answer to that plea, sir, give us this bread always. Sir, give us yourself always. Jesus, give us you, your spirit, your presence always. Because as we already heard this morning, if we don't hold on to that, we're lost. We can't make it to the next day if we don't hold on to that. And there was the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples. And they were sitting around a table. The meal was finished. And he took up bread. And I don't know if you can even see this. I usually think of a big loaf, but today we have a little cracker. He took bread and he broke it apart. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Sir, give us this bread always. Give us yourself always. He says, I will give you my whole being, everything that I am. And then he took a cup, of wine from the table, another staple on the table. And he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." This cup, this juice, the wine that Jesus had, symbolized the blood that would flow from him, his death that would bring us life, his death that would adopt us into God's family, would make us God's sons and daughters, Jesus' brothers and sisters. His death, which ended in resurrection, as it does for us, is life in abundance. Sir, give us this bread always.